Right, first of all then, how did you all come to be part of the peace movement in general before Greenham?
Well, for me, I think Greenham was almost the start.
The start of your being active in the peace
actually
movement.
That's not true, because there were the C&D marches to Portendown.
Well, there was a special women's group in existence, wasn't there, called Women Oppose the Nuclear Threat?
Oh, yes.
Which we were all in Cambridge, I think, before Greenham. Unless it came after Greenham.
I thought it came after Greenham.
Yeah.
Well, I became active with Greenham, but I was part of C&D before that.
Yes. Mm. So were you at Greenham from the beginning, or did you hear about it later and join?
Well, Elspeth and I went to Cardiff to the start of the march.
Oh, yes.
So we went on the march through to Greenham, and so we went. This is a little map of the whole thing. We walked to Newport, and then Chepstow, and then Bristol, Bath, Melksham, Devizes, Marlborough, called in at the US Tactical Nuclear Weapons Store in Welford, and in Hungerford we'd been to, and Newbury, and then we arrived at Greenham Common on the 5th of September.
Gosh.
At lunchtime, so this says.
I don't think it was the 5th, but...
Well, this is written on here. I can't remember.
This is something I wrote, actually, yeah.
Oh, it's yours.
I made this before we went.
Oh, right.
And then that is a more sort of official...
Oh.
Was it the 5th? I've always thought it was the 2nd. But
this says the 5th.
How long
again.
Did it take you?
10 days. 27th of August we started.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Have you not spoken to anyone who's from the march?
No, uh-huh. We haven't. Have you?
No.
I haven't. No.
Hmm.
Yeah, we were there the first night. We were at the gate. Well, Julia wasn't actually there, but
I wasn't.
You were there for the whole walk.
Mm.
So was there only one gate at that point?
Yeah. Well, we went to the main gate.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, there was no presence of anybody. We turned up. I was thinking today how I forget how absolutely terrifying it was.
Right.
I mean, that suddenly came back to me, that how that goes, how you don't remember that after many, many years. But actually, I was shaking, I remember, really.
When we arrived,
I was given a job to go and try and contact the press, because no one was taking any notice. You know, we'd walked all this way no one was taking any notice.
Well, we're only women.
Yes. And I was in these, there was no mobile phones, of course.
Well, no.
Nothing like that. I was in these phone boxes near to the camp, ringing these news desks of these papers, and I could feel myself shaking, actually. And it brings it back. Do you remember feeling frightened? Physically frightened?
No, I was more excited, I think.
Uh-huh.
I can remember the Morning Star turned up at one place we were at, the only place.
At the bridge.
The only people who supported us were the Morning Star. That was at the bridge.
That was Bristol.
Bristol.
On the Bristol side, yeah.
Yes.
Gosh.
Mm.
And there was a Russian radio station. And then I think that was the only thing that did get into the papers was, these women have been speaking to Russian media, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So was that organised by C&D, the walk?
No, it was organised by a group of women in
Wales.
In Wales.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And they'd on that card, I think, it's the banner said... Women for Peace on Earth, didn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And that was there were several groups. And so they were like early environmentalists and peace to get the combination.
So did you join it in Wales, or did you join on
the way? Yeah, we joined in Wales. It was advertised in The Guardian, actually.
Yes.
And in Cosmopolitan. And we only went very spontaneously at the last minute, didn't we?
Yes, yes.
You know, a week or something before we heard about it.
Were you expecting the long walk?
Oh, yes, that was the plan. Yeah. Yes, that was announced.
So you went ready for the walk?
we did, yes. And C&D, local C&D, had provided places for us to stay.
Yes.
They fed us. All our stops, we were given huge meals, weren't we?
Yes, and, yes. And we were really welcome.
And place, we slept on floors, in school floors and
village halls.
It's so surprising to hear you saying, gosh.
Well, I know. I don't think I haven't heard of anybody who's on the walk before, really.
Well, there were about 40 of us in total.
So was it a shock when you got to Greenham and there was nobody there but you?
Yes, it was, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Well, sadly, I didn't actually get to Greenham. I had to come back here because I had an exhibition I had to set up. So I sort of, it was a real kind of political question, you know. Did I not go to the, I couldn't not go to the exhibition. It was all,
you were, yes.
Other people were involved, of course.
Yes.
And so I left. So I missed the very last day.
So did you, once you were there, did you stay then?
Yes, I think probably there was a huge, we were really disappointed and angry at being ignored, I think. We only decided on the spot to stay the night. We chained ourselves to the fence near the gate. They kind of refused to speak to us, or, you know, we tried to get entry, obviously,
yeah.
And they...
Yes, I can remember the last night I was there, there was a lot of talk about chaining yourself to the railings.
Yes.
Could you do it? And
yes.
Do it for your children. And, and of course, some people did. Yes.
And was that in 82, 81, 82?
81. 81,
okay.
So then
I think it was 81. I've always said it was 81.
Doesn't it say that?
Yes, it says 81.
That.
Okay. So then did you stay? Then, or did
well,
you have
I
to
did,
go back?
I stayed one night. I stayed the first night. But, you know, no one... There wasn't a plan at all.
Yeah.
And I had another immediate plan that I had, like Julia, you know,
yeah.
I had to get back to something or go on to something.
Mm.
But people stayed. There was a continuous presence from then on.
So some of the 40 women did stay right from the beginning.
And some of the men, actually. There were a few men on the walk.
Mm.
And some of them stayed, I think. I mean, there really were only a few men, but it wasn't kind of women only, very, very, not strictly
to begin
right
with.
At the beginning.
What was, who
there
made
was
the
quite a lot of talk about making it so,
was there,
yes.
Asking the men to go.
Oh, was there?
Yes. Mm.
And did they object, or were they quite
happy
with that?
I think on the whole they went. Mm. I've got some photographs here of around a campfire, and the men are actually doing the cooking on that occasion, so they made themselves useful.
Yes, somebody said they ran a creche as well at one point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because there are quite a number of small children.
Did the children stay all the time, or did they?
Was if their mothers were there? Yes, I suppose they did. Yes.
Mm. So were they young enough not to need schooling, or did any of them get any help schooling? Or?
Are you talking about the whole time now? I mean, I don't know.
In general, really. Did it develop into a place where the...
No,
I don't think
so.
There were
I
small...
There
was a baby born at Newnham.
You
probably got that
down
somewhere. But I don't remember... above school age kids there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or until... Well, Gerd's daughter...
Yeah, but she was in her early 20s.
Was she?
I thought she went to school. No.
Oh.
Mm. University. She left, dropped out, actually, of art school then.
So there wasn't any organisation to school children or anything like that?
No. I don't remember that.
I mean, the lovely thing about it was that it grew. It wasn't organised.
Yes.
The whole thing. We set out, and these things happened on the way. And more people came for the day or for longer if they felt inspired or could. And it just grew in a very kind of organic way.
Yeah, so there was nobody who was in charge. There wasn't a sort of committee running it.
Anne Pettit, who who wrote this book.
Yes.
She was one of the original people in Wales, and she made an amazing speech at the big CND rally that in, I think it was October or November after this September. And I remember it because she had this wonderful metaphor, do you remember, about the, she said, there were only a handful of people and there was only one camp, you know, at Newnham. And she said, we're like a mint plant. It's going to die right down over the winter and you won't, but actually mm-hmm. underneath the roots are spreading and
mm-hmm.
It's growing.
And that was a big event, wasn't it?
It was a huge event. I mean, it was an enormous march, that one, wasn't it? And so lots of people heard
yeah.
that speech and heard about new people within CND and their
mm-hmm.
followers.
Mm-hmm. So were there fewer people staying when it was winter, or did that not make any difference?
Well, this winter was the first winter. There were very few people.
Right.
I'm sure it must have
made
a difference.
No, it was after the big march in 82 that
more people
lots
came.
Of people got
yes,
involved,
and
yeah.
different camps
mm.
at different gates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was there much difference in the approach within the gates? Did they have a different way of being? Did they do more active, or, you know, was...
I think there probably were differences. Well, the main gate was the main gate, and obviously that was the hot spot in
yes.
terms of
mm-hmm.
outsiders noticing and
yeah,
presence.
Right,
and
right on the road, the main gate, of course.
Yes.
Yes.
I think it might have sort of been the kind of... You chose the gate you wanted to go to, and I think maybe the colour of it had an influence, whether you went to the red gate or the green gate, because it was all in the rainbow colours.
Yes.
Mm.
But I think gradually they got character. Well, we used to go to the green gate, didn't we?
Yes.
And that was where most people from Cambridge went. So it was like they.
Mm.
So you gravitated.
Would,
yeah.
You sort of, because you all went together or something. But then the gate where Cecilia lived was very much young people, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Very much young people who were making these big decisions, leaving home and living there when they were really young.
So the people that stayed for the longest were probably the younger ones, were there?
No, I think
there were some much older people
very
who stayed lost. A very long time.
Yeah.
And how did the women get on with the military and the police and people around? Were there interactions between those, or?
Well, more, I think.
More interactions?
No, war.
War?
Yeah.
Oh, war.
Quite a lot of abuse. I mean, physical. I don't mean sexual abuse, but a lot of...
Verbal abuse.
Anger. Mm.
Yes.
I think there were also, you know, there was a huge range of interactions because,
mm.
you know, eventually there were a lot of people and a lot of soldiers on the other side, and
mm.
there were individual conversations, I'm sure, you know, where people actually spoke to each other like human beings sort of thing in the course of a day, you know.
Yes.
But there was always the fence between.
Yeah.
I don't remember any stories of anyone actually... you know, becoming friendly with a soldier.
No. No.
And I never had anything to do with making formal interaction with people.
So it was just...
With the officers, you know. I don't know who conducted those...
It was just sort
attempts
of casual...
to get in. And,
yeah.
Well, it was also very hostile, of course. There were some people who believed, you know, there was... radar being
yes, we heard that
being
before.
Come out, and people said they were getting headaches and this sort of thing.
Really?
I don't know what substance it was substance. I mean, that was people's experience, but I don't know whether that was the
cause.
Stress of being
yeah.
there. You know, I don't know what the cause was, but
right, because people were cooking there and everything, weren't they?
Mm.
And people were bringing food, we heard.
Yes.
Oh,
the
yes.
camps.
Mm.
Lots of Newbury, local Newbury CND and women's were fantastic.
Very,
I mean,
yes.
Fuel as well and food and yeah.
So were
and
the local residents mainly supportive of you?
No, I think there was a lot of opposition actually as
yes.
well.
Oh, right.
Regarded as a nuisance.
Well, there was a petrol station quite near, one of the nearest places where you could get some food, and that banned the women from the camp from going.
Gosh.
They banned them. I guess they were bad for trade or something, you know. And they were
pretty scruffy.
they were presented as, yeah, mucky, filthy, you know.
Yeah,
because
I suppose the washing facilities
were exactly.
Insults, yeah, a lot of insults and lads in the dark as well coming out and intimidating people sleeping and or
waking them
the
up
night. Yeah, crashing about and shouting. And I don't think there was any, did you ever hear of any actual legally?
No,
yeah.
Have you heard about
I haven't,
no.
So there was no sort of sabotage going on or anything like that. Do you think that the collective nature of the camp and making decisions collectively was a good way of moving forward?
Well, I think it was central. That was the experiment in a way. In some ways, that was the most fundamental thing that happened there, I think, that's how the decisions were made. And it was very, very lengthy, of course. It's such a slow way to make decisions.
Yeah.
Did
you feel it worked for people in general in the camp?
Well, it produced the camp.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's true. What were the particular challenges of having children there, did you see, or did the children stay for a long time?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't really remember.
We none of us had small children at that time.
So were there children? You heard that from other
Yes,
people?
Apparently there were children there. But I haven't talked to anybody about how they got on in the camp. I don't know whether
I think
Christina...
I can't really say about that.
How do you think being at Greenham has affected you in your life in general?
We're into that.
Very important at the time.
How do you think it's affected?
I think I respected the police before, and I lost my respect for the police during that time.
So they didn't treat you very well there?
No, it wasn't that. I mean, they were just ordinary people, you know, and young men.
Yeah.
You know. So that was very important.
How did it come about that you lost your respect?
I say just how ordinary they were, because, you know, they were men in uniform walking in the streets that I felt respect for before. That completely went. Because we were talking to them, definitely, and I didn't feel them hostile, like you said.
But
we were talking.
You just felt they were ordinary men.
Yeah, just ordinary men in the streets.
Yeah.
I happened to wear a uniform normally. Well, I did here too, of course. But and I feel I treated police differently since then if I've been in some sort of trouble. That they are friendly young men, actually.
Yes.
So that was quite important. But, I mean, as far as Greenham is concerned, it was the women together, wasn't it? It was really, I mean, it was so powerful.
You felt it was powerful.
Oh, fantastic. Wonderful. Just want to go back. Yes.
So how do you think it's affected your life?
Well, I think, for me, one of the most, the group, the sense of, like you're saying,
community
being all together, the powerfulness of the women, the Embrace the Base Day, for instance, was just incredible.
The joy.
Yes.
There was so much
singing,
joy there,
singing,
yes.
But I think there was another more sort of long-term, for me personally, there was a long-term growth that came out of that, which was to do with the camping and the sleeping out, And I think it was probably something I'd been always wanting to do, maybe to live out of doors. And it gave me the courage, I guess. Yes, this thing about what I said before about feeling very frightened, I think that it helped. The presence of everyone else helped me overcome that fear or go through it and, you know, get beyond it or something like that. And since Greenham, I've done a lot of sleeping outside on my own, basically.
Oh, have you?
And that's changed my life, really.
Gosh, do you think it's changed your approach to life in general as well? Having the background of the community?
Life in general. Well, of course, one of the things that it's done for me is it's something I can say that I'm incredibly proud of being part of. Would you agree?
Green, then?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You know, to have been there and then to tell the story, numbers and numbers of times, it's very, very rewarding, I suppose, and gives you confidence and courage yourself, and you sort of spread it.
Yeah, and the people wanted to know all the time too. People didn't go, women who didn't go.
Yes.
Well, women.
So people are still interested, you find, in Greenham.
Well,
not so much now. I'm talking about more as it was going on. And
did you go there?
One of my sons was at university, and I realised that his friends wanted to hear about Greenham, you know, which was a very unexpected sort of role to be playing, to be the cool mother who was at Greenham, you know. that was wonderful.
Yes.
I'm very glad to have had that.
It was also a place where I think you didn't talk about it very much unless people asked you. It wasn't something that you could personally claim pride in. I mean, I thought I had to be careful, not careful, but I was aware that it was something deeper than that. You weren't just being a heroine, you know, or hero. It was more fundamental. And that sort of boasting about it would be detrimental to the whole thing.
And it wasn't boasting, it was just part of your life.
Yes.
When you talk about things that are part of your life, it wasn't boasting.
So do you feel
that's what I'm saying, it wasn't about boasting.
No, so do you feel it's changed your life?
It confirmed my life, actually. I knew I wanted to be a painter, and I went on doing it. I didn't necessarily take my painting in a political direction in terms of figuration. It's always remained rather abstract.
I think maybe in common we're saying it gave us some kind of confidence and sense of solidarity with our own self and with other women, you know. So we carried on, as it were. We didn't give up.
It reaffirmed what you felt anyway.
Yes. There were quite strong women's groups in East Anglia, weren't there?
Yes. There was another camp at Molesworth, which is fairly near here, which also had nuclear weapons, and we went there as well.
What did you think of the art that was in, as you're an artist, that was going on in Greenham?
Well, it was very strong and very, very clear what it was about, and there was a lot of. I loved a lot of the decoration, a lot of the flags flying in the wind, and I don't know. It was quite spontaneous. It wasn't art.
No, it was an expression.
Yes.
And what about the music? There's a lot of, there were a lot of songs, weren't there? The,
yes, I'm very deaf, so I didn't
know. No, we're deaf. So did you stay over the whole period? Were you there on and off all the way through?
I wasn't. I just want to get a little painting I did.
I'm not sure who that. I suppose you've seen this.
Oh, yes. That's one of the banners, look.
I should think it was probably... Well, I think we were on and off until the nuclear weapons were removed, but the camp went on actually longer than that. Even.
Yes, it did.
Much longer.
But I think after the weapons were gone, I didn't go back.
Can you get past? Sorry, I was in your way.
Oh.
Or did you do that while you were there?
Sorry?
Did you do that one while you were there?
No, not when I was there. I did it when I came back. The very first time, there was a... We sang round the boat and the sound got picked up. Somebody started in just the singing and it went right round the circle. And that was the painting I did. And the music, the sound started there and it went all the way round. I did it as soon as I came back. It was just this one. But I called it Green Room. It was winter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a small thing.
Yes, it's evocative of the community, isn't it? The circle around them.
Yeah.
Beautiful colours.
Thank you. Yes.
So how do you think you were portrayed, that Greenham was portrayed by the media at the time and since?
Trying to lead the Guardians.
Well, you couldn't avoid the headlines, could you? There was a lot of hostility
yeah.
from like the Daily Mail, the Daily Express, the Telegraph. A lot of just derogatory, personal derogatory stuff, particularly about everyone was a lesbian, which was an insult. And
stupid women singing.
Yes, and I think probably there was a lot of stuff. If there were children seen there, that was something that was then denigrated, you know.
How did they cope? It's a disgrace. Yeah. How did they cope with washing and cooking and sleeping?
Well, it was very basic, wasn't it?
Very basic.
As I say, that's one of the things I've really taken from it.
You liked the outdoor living.
They're not washing.
Well, you know, what do you actually need? And it's very exciting to live with very little, actually. But very stimulating, isn't it?
You make do.
And particularly
nice.
If you're living outdoors.
Yes. Mm. You've got to sort everything all the time. There's not a tap or a switch.
So where did you get water from then?
I remember one of the main taps was on the other side of the main road from the main gate, wasn't it?
Oh,
and
yes,
that was a tremendous hazard, because it was like a dual carriageway, main road to Andover or somewhere, I think. Andover, Basingstoke.
I don't remember where it went, but I remember the tap.
Yeah.
I think there was
there must have been
there was a cafe somewhere near where people went to wash.
Fill up waters, yes.
And fill up water and what was it? It was something he and a guy who owned it and negotiated with the camp. Can't remember what it was, but something went on that they were able to use the showers or the loos. In return, I can't remember what.
We weren't there for, none of us were actually there for weeks or days, or even days on end, you know, so we can't really give you that.
I had to ask my daughter.
Yes, we didn't, live there, in the sense of
Do you think many people stayed throughout?
Oh, she didn't stay throughout, but she stayed there.
For a long time.
Well, some people did, yes. There was a woman... I mean, they've probably been in touch with you, these women. Helen, what was her name?
Johnson.
No, that was Rebecca Johnson. Helen was from South Wales, wasn't she? And she left her job and really devoted herself. And there were a few, but I don't remember everybody's names who did that.
There was talk that some of the women had joined and were escaping some sort of domestic abuse. Did you come across any of that at all?
I think, woman Helen, I don't know whether it was domestic abuse. I think she was ending quite a long marriage, certainly, by what she did. But I don't know. I don't know if I ever knew, and I certainly don't remember the reasons. But
no. So you didn't come across that in general?
Not directly, but I certainly heard of people that's what some women had done, gone there.
Because it'd be very life-affirming, wouldn't it, to be surrounded by women?
Well, you'd feel perhaps protected. On the other hand, of course, it's not really a very safe place to go beside a nuclear base, is it?
Well, hopefully they wouldn't set them up while you were there. If there was one sort of thing that would be very evocative of Greenham, what would it be for you? A song or a sign or a symbol or an emotion?
Well, the feeling of togetherness, I think, for me was the most powerful one. Yeah. We are all in this together.
Yes.
Can you think of anything? If somebody said, give me one idea of Greenham, what would it be?
It's difficult because it's sort of diffuse, really.
Yeah.
It was the day, in the summer, was it? There was a December meeting, wasn't there? 6 months after the campers landed there.
Well, there was the huge Embrace the Base, but then I think that was in March.
No, I think it was in December, wasn't it?
I have a
feeling.
I thought it
was in December, and then I opened up
one
of these books.
There
were two,
marches,
actually,
yeah.
Yes, there were two.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was one in just before I went to that house in Devon, and that was December, yes.
Yes, and then there was one in the summer, I think. But... well, you know, I remember the December 1. I think there was snow on the ground, the lights, the candles.
Yes.
It was starlight, I can't remember, but, you know, the evening drawing in. It was good. I wasn't there. I didn't stay there very much. I went for a night or two over the time, but not, you know.
I was reading one testimony, and a woman said she'd kept a journal when she was there, and she read it recently, and she said she couldn't believe the amount of emotion that she'd felt at the time about the camp.
Yes.
Yes, I can imagine that.
I think we have forgotten, you know, like I said about the fear, I had forgotten that, actually.
Yeah.
I
think that's true. I
mean, it's a hell of a long time ago. Yes, it does. It turns into ideas, maybe, rather than the feelings. The what's left is some ideas.
Yeah.
And that sensation of holding hands at the on the Embrace Base, that was extraordinary.
Yeah.
That was very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And were you all singing at that time? Or were you just...
Well, I think there was certainly waves of singing. There was it wasn't non-stop, but it kind of a song arrived down the line, sort of thing.
Somebody told us yesterday that they'd passed a tampon all the way around, and when it got back to the beginning, they knew the circle was complete.
That's a very good story. It should be made up afterwards.
Walked into eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So if there was one visual symbol that you could say was Greenham now, what would you think that would be?
Well, I've been looking at photographs that I took there, and so that's rather different. But with those, it's the backs of the people or the women in front of me. And they're going on forever, as it would seem. There were huge crowds.
I think, for me, it's that photo, that very famous photograph of the dancing on the top of the silos. I think that's an incredible picture.
Yeah.
It's so evocative and powerful of the difference between the women and the concrete and the fence. You know, it's such a powerful image of what it was like, actually, and what the confrontation was about.
Gosh, they were brave, weren't they?
Yes.
And the women were on top.
Yes, they were dancing, and it was dawn in the winter, so they're just silhouettes, aren't they?
They're silhouettes.
Have you got that?
I don't think I've got a photograph of
it. It's been reproduced so many times, hasn't it?
Well, it's a postcard, that's all of it. I took goodbye at a time.
Got all these lovely clips.
You have to be careful opening these, as they get so frail.
And there's another one which is not at Greenham but came out of Greenham, of the women lying down in the street by the Courts of Justice. I think this one on this kind of picture is just amazing. Oh, no, that way. Distracting.
Oh yeah.
The sort of combination of the women's imagery and the male.
And what about this
part.
One? An elderly woman.
Scuffles as women's seal off base.
No, I bought this in my shop. I recognise Martin's eyebrow.
Have you all remained active in the peace movement since?
No, I can't claim to have. I can't claim.
No.
I suppose we're
still feminist. You know, we would still describe ourselves as feminists very much.
Julia and I went to an Older Master March. When was that, Julia? That was after.
Yes.
After Greenham.
I suppose the thing about Greenham was it did seem so spontaneous. It just grew. And it wasn't organised, which the CND marches obviously were.
Mm.
You know, it was a women's expression,
wasn't it?
Yes.
It was.
And it did go on being without leaders, didn't it?
I think it did.
Yeah,
yes.
Which is pretty remarkable.
Mm.
Yes.
This is something that Julia and I took part in. Another march. Have people told you about the Star Marches? They were from all these places in the country to Greenham. When Greenham was very well established. I don't know if this has got the year. Oh, 83. The summer of 83. Mm. And there were thousands of us, you know, eventually. We converged, on the same day.
There are actually very few of us who went from here.
Well, yes.
Mm.
Never mind.
as much as the people had prepared an enormous welcome, and then this little trickle of people, women turned up. Mm.
Why do you think the suffragette movement has been remembered more than this Greenham community? Or do you think
it's
it
a different
has
time, or? Isn't it?
By the boat.
Do you think it's just a matter of timing and history?
Well, maybe it's a...
Well, it's a different issue, of course.
Yes, it's a different issue. It's a more... It's a universal issue. But, I mean, peace is obviously a universal issue, but it doesn't traditionally have such large numbers of people supporting it. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the patriarchy would prefer
people.
Us to remember the suffragettes more than Greenham, because it's more orderly, I mean, the outcome is something sort of orderly and controllable, and oh, now you've got the vote, so you can be quiet.
And also it's further back.
Yes. I wonder, do you think there'll be a 100th anniversary of Greenham? Maybe not.
Well, I think you're helping.
Well, yes.
We're attempting to be
recorded.
Yes.
I do remember the shock when I first said to someone, I just said Greenham, referred to it in an automatic sort of way, and it was a young man, actually, and he said, "What's that?" And it was probably maybe about 2000, year 2000 or so.
Yes, whereas if you say suffragettes, everybody knows.
Yes.
And it gets forgotten, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is a different issue.
Yes.
Why exactly?
But I mean, fighting against nuclear.
But lots of people are not involved in that. Half the population is want to vote, you know.
Has anyone else said to you about the fact that some feminists were critical of Greenham because they said it isn't a women's issue, peace is not a women's issue, feminists should be fighting for things which are specifically for women?
No, I haven't heard that.
It was quite a strong challenge, I guess,
at the time.
From radical feminists, basically, saying, do you remember that, Julia?
Well, I do, and also I think another aspect of it was that it was seen from a lot of women's point of view that it was a very middle-class movement, and mostly white middle-class women were there.
So that was a criticism?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Well, which is why, you know, that's a tea towel.
Yes.
I'm obsessed about the tea towel.
You are obsessed with the tea towel.
Yeah.
I can understand that, though. It's sort of left on a tea towel, which it's lost its importance then.
Yes.
And it's commercialised, which is a really strange feeling.
Yes.
That people could be making money out of green details.
Yes.
My Country is the Whole World, which is an anthology that we made of women's writing about peace and war since, from Sappho to Greenham, basically. And that very much came out of, I mean, that was, we were working on that. Well, it was published in 84. Actually, it was published at the end of 83, wasn't it? And they, for some reason...
So you were
reason,
working on that right from the beginning, then?
Yes, and there were 10 of us, I think, all of whom, you know, were also involved at Greenham or connected to Greenham and stuff. But it was a Cambridge group. Cambridge won't. We women oppose the nuclear threat.
Right.
Cambridge Women's Peace Collective. We actually called ourselves for this. Yeah. And that, I suppose, that was very exciting to get it published.
Yes,
you know,
to
get it published from a group of people that weren't, you know, none of us were writers or anything. And it was a hell of a lot of... It was about collective... I'm sure you two remember me.
Yes, I wasn't
the
involved in
the
it.
Difficulties of,
yes.
You know, producing that with 10 people having to make a decision.
Did everybody... Was everybody involved in the writing of it? Or
it's an anthology of other people's writings, of women's writings. But each person had a little biographical bit, and then there's an introduction, and we had to make decisions about what to include and what editing.
Collective decisions.
Yes, you can imagine. But I don't think that would have happened without the background and the encourage. You know, Greenham existing was a sort of stimulus to do that and to carry on doing it, make it happen. And it came out just after the Embrace the Base.
Did you sell a lot of copies?
Well, it was launched at my shop, wasn't it? So
yes.
We sold a lot, yeah.
Mm. Is it still
in
print?
Yeah, we sold out. No, it's not in print. I think it sold out, though. But they didn't. Interestingly, you know, it probably took 5 years to sell, or 4 years. You know, things had changed by then, as it were, Green.
That was an interesting point. You came to me. I didn't know Elspeth. I got to know her through the launch of the book. But you had been to Heffers first, which is a big bookshop, the Cambridge University bookshop.
And they
Michelle
turned it
said
down.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But she was told, the woman who was in charge of the women's studies, I suppose, sociology, I think, and the management got to know about it and said, we can't have that, it's too political.
Oh.
That's what you told me,
actually.
Well, remember. So you came to me instead.
Yes.
But you didn't know me. You just...
I just turned up. Did I? I thought we'd
no,
be
you must have
known
me.
Yes.
But,
anyway.
I didn't really know you.
No.
Greenham gave you the courage to go.
Yes.
I won this.
Yes. It certainly did.
Well, I think my memory is there's a letter in the Guardian. Written by Anne Pettit.
I don't remember it as a letter, but it was something there was a statement of some sort in the Guardian.
Okay.
Very shortly before, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I mean, I think it was only a week or something.
Yes, that's right.
Knew about it.
So then did you get together as friends to go then?
Yes, Julie and I did.
Well, we went together.
On the walk.
Nobody else came on the stage.
So
on the first, you mean on the original?
Yes. So was it an extension of your CND campaigns that brought
it
forward?
It was connected, I think.
Well, is that what made you think about going?
Well, it was technically connected. But
because it was, I think we were, I think, well, the nuclear, the Greenham, you know, the arrival of the missiles at Greenham was a big public issue at the time.
We had this telephone tree, do you remember that?
Mm.
Ringing each other when...
Yes.
That was later, wasn't it, with the crew, with the...
Well, there were telephone trees for everything, weren't there?
Yes,
because
there were.
That was the way we communicated.
We didn't have internet and...
No internet
or
mobile phones. I mean, that's what's so amazing about that.
People got together anyway, without...
Yeah, and how it sort of... I mean, it was a complete surprise, wasn't it, that number of people turning up.
Mm.
The 30,000 one, you mean?
Yes.
Mm.
Nobody knew that was going. What was going to happen that day, sort of thing, before.
Yeah. How many people do you think were there? The maximum number of people were at Greenham at any one time?
Well, on that day there were estimated 30,000, but that wasn't staying.
That was the end of the month.
I have no idea, because it was very fluctuating.
Yep, and all of them are repeats, I think.
Oh,
good.
Oh,
could you pass me that card?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's some of the
gate.
We had this one, do you remember that?
What do you think was the average age of the people there?
And is that the woman who had twins and who was a rapper?
They all look very young on these photographs.
That looks like Jane.
Yes. Yes.
Jane, who's in the anthology, Jane Rickard.
That's right, yes, I thought it was.
What do you think the average age was of people?
I'm sorry?
The average age of people who were there? Because
people
were very young.
Huge.
Grannies for peace.
Average would be... Every age.
Yes.
Look at this one, Flaming Women. Look at this one.
What's that one?
May I take the poster?
Yes. This has been on my wall in the workshop. It's very... it's amazing it survived, actually. Quite.
Is this part of the ring round the camp?
I think it is, yes. I think we're holding hands.
I've got a funny hat on even here.
Thank you.
Okay, similarly.
Do you want the
part
do you want
event.
This book?
Yes. Yes, it's really interesting.
Terrible photographs.
Well, they're recording the event, aren't they?
Well, they do, that's
so
all they do.
It's
yeah.
invaluable, isn't it, really? People tell us the word organic is they relate to the running of Greenham, really.
Mm.
It just evolved with everybody.
Yes.
Nobody in charge. But
and no sense of an end, really. I mean, it was quite strange in a way how long it went on after the weapons weren't there anymore. It was like it did have another function as well as the getting rid of the weapons.
Yes. But how long after they'd gone did it carry on?
The camera.
I don't remember.
I know nothing about
years,
cameras,
actually.
But it looks
many,
very
many
impressive.
Years. Really, maybe another 10.
Did
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
And now there's a, you
and
know there's a peace garden there.
Yes, there is. Because it was a common anyway to start with.
Yes, and it's reverted to being a common.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go. I haven't been actually. I really want to go back and look at it again.
Yeah.
Some of the bunkers are still
so
there. It's quite strange.
It's all open to the public now.
Yes. Dog
of course, Molesworth isn't.
Uh-huh.
If you want to go to Molesworth, you need a passport and vetting.
What
I know
are they hiding there?
Well, I don't know. I know that's with the Wildlife Trust because there's a lot of special plants in there, you know, they don't...
Oh, yes.
Is this much, sorry, did you say Molesworth?
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. And they went to look at all these plants in there, which is not being looked after, really. But they had... it was quite a thing about getting in.
Oh, gosh.
But, I mean, those missiles are gone too, haven't they? So
I think... Yeah, I'm sure they have, yes.
So
officially,
lots of American
anyway.
Bases around here.
Do you think the Greenham Women's Camp was instrumental in the missiles being sent back?
Yes.
That's a very big question.
Well, I'm sure.
Yes.
Well, we all thought that anyway because
yes,
we wanted to think
we
that.
We thought that.
Because it was there a long time, wasn't
it? Was
it
was there a long time. And it's quite unusual for weapons to be removed once they've landed somewhere and put somewhere, isn't it? I'm sure there were other influences, like changes in military policy, you know, which maybe aren't affected by things like our camp.
Mm.
But
you don't know whether they are or not, really,
no,
do you?
It's difficult to say categorically what the effect of it was. But as Gerd says, we'd like to think it was...
Yeah, well,
all
we
that effort.
To that,
yes, I mean,
we won
yeah.
in the end.
Yes. But I think Greenham's more important than that, in a way.
Oh,
for,
yes.
For women,
yeah.
More important than whether it did actually, was that, I mean, it wasn't single-handedly the cause, I don't think. But
well, the nuclear threat in general is still there, isn't it?
Yes.
So. Yes. So the legacy of Greenham
For women... as opposed to for peace, say, I think is as important,
yeah.
Anyway.
She was arrested at Greenham.
Yes.
Mm. What?
She I think she climbed onto the...
And
onto
she was
the,
old. She was old at the time,
yeah.
I mean, much older than us.
Because
anyway,
she'd been
in the
previous demo.
No, not than we are now, but she was in her 60s at least, certainly.
Yes,
because
yes.
She'd been in the post-war demonstrations of CND.
Mm. So why did she get arrested?
She climbed on. She climbed the fence. I think tried to get onto the dance, that wonderful festival we were talking of earlier.
And so she was... Did they put them in prison for long? Was it a sort of overnight stay?
There was a lot of...
I think it was probably only a week or something,
yeah.
Wasn't
it?
But
or a fortnight, but she
yes.
was released.
But certainly it had an effect. I know there was one woman who was so furious and angry at the way she was treated and women were treated in prison, she tried to do something about it. And what was the other thing?
Treated by the officials or by other prisoners?
Yes, well, the whole prison system, I think.
12th of December, 82.
Yes. And also, it turned out that they should never have been in prison.
The Civil disobedience.
The civil disobedience, whatever it was that was, they were accused of, it should have been a fine and not a prison sentence.
I was fined for cutting a fence at Molesworth, and I was the charge for that was criminal damage.
Oh, was it?
Which I don't think had a prison sentence necessarily.
How much did they fine you?
£67 and some number of pence it came to. I do remember, and I've never paid it. I never paid it, and they never pursued me, actually. And I was rather annoyed.
This is recorded.
You were looking for litigation.
Because, well, I thought I'd got a criminal record, and recently I had to have one of those CBR checks, you know, because I was working in a context where you needed it, and I thought, oh, hooray, it's going to come up on my record. And then there was absolutely no mention of it at all.
I think they lost all those old records.
Yes, I think there was a decision, a political decision, not to pursue those because they didn't want making heroines out of people, basically.
Mm.
This woman is troubled. She's
yes,
heroines or martyrs.
Well, sort of martyrs. Yes, like Mabel, and there was a woman, the Helen Johnson, I think her name was. Who got sent to prison, and there was a big hullabaloo, and they decided after that not to put out prison sentences. Well, it probably costs far more than it's worth as well.
Yes, probably. And they're only going to go back anyway.
Yes. It wasn't a deterrent.
Campost, is that somewhere you went?
What are you going to do with all this precious stuff, Julia?
Well, just put it back in the cupboard. Have you got... No, you haven't got stuff.
I gave my stuff to Celia.
Oh, right.
I haven't got as much. Wasn't as
well,
much
she
as
had
this.
Much more.
Yes, she doesn't. Cecilia doesn't keep things. She will keep this, but...
I mean, I haven't got any pictures. Well, I don't think I took any pictures, anyway. And I didn't keep any cuttings or anything.
That's
like
some Karen Silkwood. That's a...
Oh, isn't it?
I never saw the film. Did you see the film?
With Jane Fonda, was it?
I don't know.
I didn't see the film, I don't think.
Mm.
What's the film?
Karen Silkwood film.
Oh,
that film
about.
I
saw it on the long flights.
Oh, really?
Flying to India or something.
Yes. It was that time.
Do you think having less things in Greenham taught you to have less things about you since, or do you collect any?
Certainly on the road. I think it, like I said already, I think it was an inspiration to be able to travel light.
Mm.
Maybe not. I have got a lot of stuff at home in my house as well.
Pretty good, Elspeth.
Well, you're very good at living simply.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Aren't you good at living simply?
Yeah, well, not as simple as English. He hasn't got central heating, for instance, by choice, for instance.
So you feel as if you're outdoors?
Yeah. Yes, I just put on more clothes sort of thing, yeah.
Or else we live without electricity for a whole year. No mobile, no telephone, nothing. CD,
really?
Yeah. For a whole year, wasn't it?
Well, I did... When you say that, it's slightly exaggerated because I didn't have it in my house. I didn't have any electricity.
No, but you
but
came
I
back
did
in
go
the dark.
To other people's houses for things, you
to
know.
To warm up.
I wasn't at home the entire time, and I didn't hesitate to use other people's.
Was it a protest about?
No, it was more like an action, I suppose you'd call it an action. It wasn't it was a demonstration, maybe. It was a piece of work for a whole year, for 13 full moons.
Hmm.
And I was doing I was delivering small pots that I'd made to a whole range of people that time. So that's what I mean. I was sometimes in other people's houses and they had electricity. But I didn't have a mobile, or I and tell
you. He also described coming back in the dark and not switching on the light on the cold winter's evening, unheated house.
Felt like Greenham.
Yes, exactly. I remember very well you describing that. And you weren't even tempted to switch on the light.
No, I suppose. Well, maybe that comes from Greenham or from the Greenham was like people were dedicating themselves to something, weren't we? It was a dedication. And I think once you've said you're doing, you know, well, we're going to Greenham and we're not moving, it does simplify things in a way. You've got your plan and your structure, and that's what you're doing. And in some ways, it doesn't feel like a hardship or a restriction.
Well, for a year it would for me. I could do it for a month, but not a year.
I'm thinking of doing it again, actually.
Are you here?
Well, it was so wonderfully enjoyable, actually.
Walk from her hand into Hungerford.
There was an amazing woman who was on the original march with us. And when we got to the camp, there was a wide sort of concrete entrance place, and she cartwheeled up to the at the head of us. That was so amazing. And like Julia said, she could walk on her hands as well, just walk along.
Never saw her.
I remember she said something like, "Well, who would want to be in this little old island anyway?" Yeah, what was the point of taking us over? There's nothing here to take.
She wasn't. Was she not English?
I think she was Welsh.
Mm. Well, I think so.
I thought.
Yeah.
I thought she might have even been like Nordic or.
What's it say?
We all have different memories.
Yes.
Well, it's all because it's conjecture, isn't it?
Yeah.
You come down in a different place.
I think that is on that. Banner, the poster I have.
Right.
Yeah, this is not her banner, actually.
We were discussing the various age groups of the people who were at Greenham, and Elspeth wants to elaborate on that theme.
Yes, the first thing I want to say is about the age we are now, we three as a group, and how I initially got in touch with you as an individual. And then it sort of came to me that it would be really interesting to do it as a group. And during the interview, it's been even feeling more strongly, you know, that's what Greenham was partly about, us going as groups and connections and so on. And I just thought it would be interesting for you, all of you listening, whoever you are, you know, that we're still a group. We're still together. We're still together, and we're really enjoying talking about Greenham together today. And we're 80s. We're in our 80s now, which means we were in our 40s, 50s when we were at Greenham.
Which was sort of probably in the middle of the
In the middle sort of thing, yes. There were a lot of us of our age, I would say, but of all ages, yeah, older and younger.
Yes. So is that the thing that you want to bring forward?
I think that it's about the fact that Greenham is still connecting us, if you like. We three, you know, we're here, three of us now, still 40 years later. Still talking together about it.
Yes.
And you've given us that chance.
I'm glad. Thank you very much, all of you. It's been a lovely afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.